impact the lives, in Esther's case, of an entire nation. And as we dive into this book today, we will see that God can use anyone as his messenger. Anybody. You and me, anybody we see can be used as God's messenger. And as we talk about messengers in Heart Check, how we want to be messengers of the gospel who bring the good news forth to all of the world, all of us can be that messenger. And as we look at Esther this morning, we will see exactly what that looks like. To give you a quick summary of the events that happened in the book of Esther prior to what we're going to read today, the king of Persia didn't like his wife anymore. He did something to her. He got rid of her. He discarded her. And you can read about it, and it's much more gruesome than what I just described. But he got rid of his wife, and then he had a year-long beauty competition. He went out and gathered all the beautiful women from around Persia and brought them in for this year-long competition where they received beauty treatments for an entire year so they'd be ready to present to the king. It was the Bachelor, the Persian version. Who said that? But with way more drama and way more scandal. Contestants were given this year of living with one another and receiving all these treatments so that they would be presented to the king to see who would be the next queen. And that's when Esther comes into the picture. She was entered into this beauty contest because she was a beautiful young woman. But over the course of the year, she won favor with many. And it wasn't because of her beauty. It was because of her character and who she was as a person and who she had been nurtured to be all the years of her life, who Mordecai and her parents created in her. That's why she won favor, not because of a pretty face, but because of what existed in her heart and who she was. So through this beauty competition, through the Bachelor, the Persian version, Esther wins favor with the king and she becomes the queen. It's a happy ending. Everyone's happy, right? Right? If you know the book of Esther, that's far from the truth. The story is actually just beginning. And after this beauty competition and after Esther becomes a king, we have to talk about the villain of our story, the king's right-hand man, Haman. You see, Haman had a grudge against Esther's cousin, Mordecai. He had something with Mordecai that just fueled this hatred and this desire into his heart. And he was insecure and power hungry. And he, as we will read right here in just a moment, wanted to annihilate all of the Jewish people. Esther 3:6 says, "Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all of Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes." Mordecai did something that wronged Haman, but Haman had this desire then to wipe out all of the Jewish people. That's where genocide and racism come into our story today. He had this deep-seated hatred, and he wanted to annihilate all of them. Does that sound a lot like today? Does that story, that same idea, play out over and over again today? Haman actually rolled dice to see when the genocide would begin because he had such hatred in his heart for this people group, for Mordecai and all of the Jews. It sounds pretty ridiculous, but I bet we experience similar feelings or similar thoughts among others all the time. There are people in your life and my life who want to create confusion, who want to create chaos, and for some reason they have this deep-seated anger or fear or whatever it is, and they want to take out everybody in their path who opposes them. Have you ever met that person? And they won't stop at anything until their task is complete. They will push forward through anything to make that happen. Does that sound like anybody's ex? maybe an ex-husband or wife, an ex-coworker or a boss, an ex-friend, an ex-in-law, an ex-whomever, or maybe it's the person who sits next to you at work or school every day. And as you look at that person, you don't ever know what's going on in their mind because you can see it isn't good. And they'll do whatever it takes to wipe you out, to do something. Evil has gripped their heart in such an incredible way, and we see this all the time in our world. We marginalize sometimes an entire people group because of one person. It happens in politics all the time. You see one person from a cynical, whatever political background do something, and you villainize the entire group that thinks like them. Christians, it happens to us all the time, doesn't it? That somebody has a negative interaction with a Christian and they assume everybody's just like this one who wronged me, and they write all of us off with one foul swoop. Or maybe you've done it. Maybe there's somebody who attends another church or somebody who has wronged you in some way, and all of a sudden that whole church is no good. Or maybe there's somebody who lives in another part of the country who has wronged you, and all of a sudden everybody who lives in California, they're just nothing. Or maybe you've heard of people from a different country around the world, how they act or think or what they do, and you've written off all of those people all together in one foul swoop. This is the mentality that Esther and Mordecai were facing. As Haman wanted to destroy the Jewish people because of Mordecai, a personal vendetta that wasn't resolved or solved or dealt with in a healthy way, all of a sudden turns into this huge nightmare situation. And thousands of lives are on the line. Thousands of Jewish lives are on the line, scattered throughout Persia. All of a sudden, Esther found herself in an incredibly challenging position. She was the queen of Persia. The king selected her above all these other women. She had a position of power and authority. But what does she do with it? Does she hide behind it? Does she sit there and say, well, I'm the queen. I don't need to worry about anything. The king chose me. I am favored. Or does she engage in the situation that is right in front of her face? Does she make hard decisions to engage in such a way that she brings life and health and healing to those around her? Does she enjoy her position of power and let people die or risk everything? Mordecai asks her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Haman had set it up that all of the people, all the Jewish people would be killed on a certain day. Mordecai sees this coming and he says, Esther, you need to go plead our case before the king. But she responds in a way that sort of says, if I go in to see the king, I could die. I'd risk my life. And she hides initially behind her position and her power. Then the scripture tells us when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. You and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Esther, you've been selected among all these people for a time such as this. What are you going to do? Are you going to hide behind your position or power, or are you going to engage? Esther pondered Mordecai's response and then replied back to him. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, nor for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And then she says this most incredible line. And if I perish, I perish. I'm going to risk it all, she says. I'm going to go talk to the king for fear of death, because in this kingdom, the king had to summon you into his presence. You couldn't just walk in and talk to the king. Even as the queen, if she walked in and he was having a bad day, she would be killed on the spot. She knew the risk, but I love her response. And if I perish, I perish. Sometimes I feel like we have this amazing story of Esther and all that she accomplished, and we give her credit for the line, for such a time as this. Esther just didn't happen into the right place at the right time. She wasn't just a pretty face. She was someone who was willing to make a daring stand against injustice. Esther was beautiful, but she was also brave. Even though she initially resists the pleading to save her Jewish family, her friends, all that she knows, she does it, goes forth and makes an incredible risk. And my question is going to be, you'll see it plan out for you today. Are you willing to say, if I perish, I perish? When there's a hard thing in your life and the opportunity for you is to stand on your faith and do what you know is right, do you shrink back and hide, or do you stand boldly and say, if I perish, I perish? I don't care what the risks are. I don't care what the challenges are. I don't care who's staring me in the face. If I perish, I perish. When you look at Esther and all that she went through, she lived this life of tragedy at a young age, losing her parents, moving in with Mordecai, being ripped out of his house for this crazy beauty pageant. She'd known a lot of tragedy and hard things in her life. And she comes to this point where she's encouraged by Mordecai. If I perish, I perish. She had an incredibly difficult life as an orphan, living with her cousin, being selected to be the queen. It sounds like this fairy tale come true, but in actuality, it was incredibly difficult. Living in close quarters with all those women competing for the king. If you want to see drama and backstabbing, I'm sure it was there. She made it through that. She made it through being an orphan. She gets to this place where she can save her people. And this morning, I have a feeling that some of you can relate to something from Esther's background. Perhaps you were adopted. You've been a foster child. You've had life stacked against you. Maybe even you don't even feel like you can share your whole story because of everything that's been piled on top of you all of your life. But I want to tell you today, God can use you. God used Esther to save her people, and God can use you to make a difference in the world when you don't feel like it's even a possibility. Maybe there are some of you who have relied so heavily on your physical appearance to propel you forward in life. Maybe you have physical attributes that others just admire, but inside you don't want to be known as just another pretty face. You want to be known for the character and who you are and what God's doing in your life. You have other qualities that you want to shine above your physical appearance, and you want to understand and people to understand that you can do difficult things. God can use you. You're not just another pretty face. There are some of you who realize you have influence of some sort, and you're trying to figure out and struggling with figuring out how to use it. But if you hide behind your influence, you believe and feel that you can be protected. But maybe God's calling you out to say, if I perish, I perish. I'm not going to hide. I'm going to be bold for my Lord. God can use you. No matter what position in life you've walked into this room today, no matter what you've done, what your past, present, how powerless you may feel, what life has stacked against you, God can use you. Is that encouraging today? Today. just like he used Esther. So let's remember her bravery foremost. And instead of being remembered for such a time as this girl, we remember her as the if I perish queen, who was ready to take on the challenges that faced her people and risk her life for what she knew she needed to do. Though God might not be asking you to save a whole nation of people, he hasn't done that for me yet. I don't know that he'll do it for all of us. God wants you to be a messenger in perhaps ways that are overwhelming or challenging to you. He wants all of us as a church revived. Listen to this. He wants all of us as a church to be able to say, if I perish, I perish. When I go into the workplace tomorrow carrying my faith, people may think I'm foolish, but if I perish, I perish. Mordecai responded to Esther, and who knows, but you may have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Maybe you're in your job that you can't stand, that just is just the worst thing ever for such a time as this. And there's somebody near you every day who's just beat up and dying inside. And maybe it's time for you to say, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to minister to this person. Some of you are in middle school or high school or college. Gosh, those are hard places to be. And you know what is right. You know the right thing to do, but the tide of peer pressure is so strong and you get swept into it, and all of a sudden you're engaged in behaviors and activities that you know are just wrong or possibly even sinful. And maybe this is a call for you to stand up and say, I know I'm going to do what is right, and if I perish, I perish. If people look at me oddly, if I perish, I perish. If people don't want to be my friend anymore, that's okay. If I perish, I perish. So let's end today by going back to Esther's line that she should be known for. The one that should rise above everything else in her story. If I perish, I perish. What does that sound like for you moving into the next step of obedience in your faith? Her big fear was dying. She thought if she walked into the king, her life could end at that moment. I don't think many of us face death quite that drastically, but we do face obstacles in our lives, things that we hide from often. Answer this for yourself. Not for your neighbor, not for your children, but for you. Are you willing and ready to make a stand like Esther and to say, if I perish, I perish. If people think I'm foolish for following my faith and loving Jesus, if they think I'm foolish, I'm foolish. Your neighbors, when you keep going to church and inviting people into your home and loving people in unconditional ways, if they start to think you're weird, are you willing to say, well, if they think I'm weird, I'm weird? Are you willing to invest your resources in either ministries around here at church or in the community or just blessing those in your community? Are you willing to say, if I run out of money, I run out of money? That's a hard one. Money's so close to our hearts. The thing about Esther, she knew the message she had to give was worth dying for. This gets tricky. How much more is the message we carry as followers of Jesus worth dying for? Jesus did. His closest followers did. Are you willing to say, if I perish for the cause of the gospel, I perish? If I look foolish for the cause of the gospel, I look foolish. Jesus came to this world. You know this story. He lived a perfect, sinless life. Why? Because he was God. He died a sinner's death, a horrible death on a rugged Roman cross. Why? Because he loves you. But death was not the end of his story. On the third day, he burst forth from the grave in glory. Why? Because God allowed him to. And then after roughly 40 days, he ascended into heaven. That is the message that's worth dying for, church. You carry the keys to heaven for somebody in your life who does not yet know who Jesus is. Are you willing to say, if I perish, I perish. If I look foolish, I'm foolish. If they think I'm weird, I'm weird. So that somebody has an opportunity to see, hear, and understand the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Are you ready to do that? It can be hard, it can be challenging, it can be the furthest thing from your mind many days of your life. But you carry the best news ever. And we're called to be messengers of the gospel, to take it to all the corners of the world. How is it it's a globe? I don't understand. But to take it to all of the world. To tell people, you can have life. It doesn't have to be this way. Jesus loves you. That's the message we get to carry to the world. Esther brought salvation to her people. If you read the rest of the story, it's an incredible story. Read it on your own. But in the very end, the king releases the decree that all of her people would be wiped out. Haman, he dies a miserable death. Part of the story. But then her people find deliverance and freedom once again and favor. The message of the gospel that you carry to the world has the same impact that the message Esther brought. When you step up to somebody and you offer them life and you share the gospel message with them, all of a sudden they can step from where they are into life and they won't die a miserable eternal death. That's a message worth dying for. Are you willing to say, for the sake of the gospel and bringing more people into the fold and helping them understand eternity, are you willing to say, if I perish, I perish? If I look foolish, I look foolish. If I look weird, I look weird. If people don't like me, they don't like me. So that some of them may enter into God's presence forever. As messengers, that is a message worth dying for. God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for Esther's story and how we have an example of somebody who didn't hide behind her position, her power, who she was, the things she knew to be true, but she was willing to step out and to say, if I perish, I perish. Lord, help us to have that same heart as a church when we engage in the world, when we see the needs of the world. We're not content to sit on our chairs and just to say, okay, that's fine, but we're willing to engage and say, if I perish, I perish. That we will be your ambassadors to the world, bringing the good news, bringing hope, healing, and grace to those who are impacted by the injustices of the world. That as revived, we stand up on what we know to be true. We don't hide or think that we've got it all figured out, but that, Lord, we're ready to engage in the world. Father, you have called us to be a church that pursues you, that proclaims Jesus and participates with the Holy Spirit in everything we do. God, help us to be our mark. If I perish, I perish. Lord, help that to be a song that's in our heart or something that's in our memories every day as we take risks, as we step out for the sake of the gospel. Father, we thank you for this morning and this chance to be together as we remember mothers, as we remember what happened on May 14th just a year ago. Lord, help us to stand strong and say, if I perish, I perish. We thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. We thank you for your work on the cross, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're alive and well in our world. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Join us as we respond in song, like one more time this morning, singing praise to our King.